You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Schools Today, a special edition of Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary Parish in Evanston. Co-hosting with me this morning, Wayne Majors.
Oh, you're Father Greg Sackowitz. I was wondering who
Vice
this was.
President
it's been so long
Chief
since we've
staff
been here.
Of Loyola. It's been a while since we've been together.
Yeah, it has. It has.
How are you doing, Wayne?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, thank you. But I think the whole world prayers are with the devastation of the people in Japan.
Yeah, that, terrible tragedy, terrible tragedy.
I mean, you have the earthquake, then the tsunami, and now this nuclear reactor problems with possible meltdowns. And you look at the pictures, and I'm sure the pictures do not do justice. I saw a picture in the paper this morning, this huge, I don't want to say ocean liner, but this huge boat sitting on top of a building like 2 miles inland.
And the question is, where do you start in a situation like that to clean it up and get back on your feet? So
where do you begin? And also, many people just in the Chicagoland area trying to contact loved ones back home in Japan.
Right.
And with communication down, but now they're talking tens of thousands that possibly died.
It's going to take a long time to get
So our prayers are with the entire community of Japan and they try to begin cleanup. You are listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408.
And we're an hour early today. It's only 8:01, according to the clock.
Brian has not had a chance to change the clock. Thank you, Brian. It's, I would say almost 9:02. Segment one here, St. Patrick High School in Chicago commemorates their 150th anniversary of the book entitled A Tradition of Brotherhood, 150 Years at St. Patrick High School. And Dan Smith, the author of the book and a St. Pat's alum class of 1998, chronicles the school's start at the home of old St. Patrick's Church to the present students. St. Patrick High School is the oldest all-male college preparatory Catholic high school in Chicago. And Dan Smith, the author of A Tradition of Brotherhood, 150 Years at St. Patrick High School, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You were there for all 150 years. I
wish so.
Class of 90, geez, we have shoes older than that, Wayne.
Speak for yourself.
And welcome to the program, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
So how did this whole project endeavor take place? Because you are class of 98, and then who approached you the last couple of years?
Brother Conrad DeBold, who is the president of the school and who has known me since I was a little tyke, about 5 years old. I grew up at the school. I only lived two blocks away. And he approached me and said, he knew I was a full-time journalist, and he said, Danny, we'd like you to produce, would you be interested in doing a comprehensive history of the school? Knowing that our 150th year was right around the corner. We opened in 1861, so obviously 2011 is our 150th year celebration. And we wanted to produce something that really kind of told the story of what we call the Grand Old School and kind of talked about its evolution and kind of its connection to Chicago and how it served young men over this 150 years. And so that kind of gets the ball rolling, and we go through the process of putting together the book and digging into the archives and really trying to tell this complete and full and engaging story about this great institution.
So what is the story of St. Pat's, Dan? As is the case with many parishes or schools throughout the Archdiocese, if you look back at their history, 100 years, 150 years, they go through stages. They go through a Renaissance period. They go through dramatic change and challenges along the way. Give us a thumbnail of how St. Pat's was and is today.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So when we opened in 1861, Lincoln is only president for a handful of months at that point. The Civil War just began. I mean, it traces its back to that. And obviously in 1861, Chicago's not the metropolis it is today. We're talking 10 years before the Great Chicago Fire. So the school opens in 1861 just to serve. It brings the Christian Brothers to Chicago. St. Pat's had a local school that was there going back to 1854, kind of a little parish school.
On that
school.
Location?
At that location at Old St. Pat's at Des Plaines and Adams, yes, a little parish school run by the Holy Cross Fathers. That eventually, there's a disagreement between the pastor and the Holy Cross Fathers, and they leave. And he, the pastor, Reverend Dennis Dunn, sees that, well, school's going to be starting soon, and I need people to run the school. He makes a call down to St. Louis, which is where the Christian Brothers were, knowing that they were involved in education. And at that time, the Christian Brothers are pretty much all these French guys who come up to work in working-class Irish Chicago at that time, which at that time is the fringes of the west side of the city, Des Plaines and Adams. And that kind of starts that. They bring the Christian Brothers to Chicago. St. Pat's is at that location at Des Plaines and Adams from 1861 until 1952, at which point, when the Kennedy Expressway is built, we move out to the northwest side of Chicago, which is where we've been since 1954.
So the first 90 years of St. Patrick High School was next to Old St. Pat's
Correct, yes. Church. There was a, correct, exactly. Old St. Pat's Church that is still there.
Oh my God, that's thriving a parish. Landmark.
Correct. In the school and the parish survived the Great Chicago Fire. And the school and the brothers become kind of a refuge center following the fire, serving the people who had been left homeless and kind of devastated by the fire. And so there's kind of this fascinating history of how it it always kind of – the interesting thing about St. Pat's over 150 years, as much as it has kind of changed and evolved, it still maintains – the one big thing about the history is it always has adapted to serve the society in which it serves. And so in 1920, knowing that we have Chicago bustling here, it's going to become a commercial center. The local businesses in the loop need workers. St. Pat's transitions to a commercial course. So basically they're preparing workers then to go in the loop. So it's always been this very practical, nuts and bolts Chicago education. But I'll tell you one of the most fascinating things I dug in this history of St. Patrick High School. I saw old tuition ledgers from the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it would say the name of the student, where he lived, the name of the father, what the father's occupation was. And one of the most fascinating things is St. Pat's today is a very blue-collar school. It's always served Chicago's working-class people. And as you looked in these tuition ledgers, you saw that the father's occupations then were the same as they are today. Mm-hmm. Laborer, fireman, policeman, business owner, saloon owner. And so there's this tremendous history of it.
What was the tuition back in the late 1800s?
You're talking about $2.
Yeah, $2.
Fraction, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but back, just to go back very quickly, too, I mean, you talk about Old St. Pat's. A lot of people don't know that there was the all-boys high school, which was called the Academy, St. Patrick Academy. There was a girls' high school. And there was also then the parish grade school as well. Now, the parish grade school, there's still a parish grade school operating there, Francis Xavier Ward. The girls' high school closed down, I want to say, in the 50s. But
I
even my grandmother
that.
Went to the girls' high school.
And it was called St. Patrick's Girls' High School or Girls' Academy?
I actually don't know the precise name of the school, but it was St. Patrick's High School, and it was specifically for girls.
As you looked into the history of the school, was there any particular time that was especially challenging for the high school?
Yeah, I think the move from when you move campuses, now you move from a place in the loop where you're pulling kids from all over.
Yeah.
You're pulling kids from the south side, the southwest side, the north side, the northwest side, the west side, the suburbs. You're pulling kids from all over because you're pretty centrally located. And plus you have then opportunity to get those students jobs right after they graduate or even after school. They could have a job right after school. The loop is just kind of great for that. Of course, the loop at that time, you had Skid Row right next door to the school.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't what it is today.
No,
sure.
God, no. But there's this, I think the biggest transition I think St. Pat's had was moving from the academy to its new headquarters at Belmont and Austin on the northwest side. Because you have this transition where students were coming there, they were familiar with the campus, and all of a sudden you move to a new campus, which is, and the school almost triples in size. Almost immediately, goes from about 600 to 1,800.
Because of the move.
Well, also, you got to remember, you're dealing with post-World War II.
Correct.
The economy starting to really blossom. The guys have come home from the war, starting families. Well, now these kids would be, of course, a little bit older, but still Catholic education in the 50s was getting stronger and stronger. So when they tripled their attendance from about 600 to 1,800
correct.
In 1952, was a school that quickly already getting filled to capacity?
We in the 1950s and into the 1960s, 1,800 was the capacity, and we could fill it up constantly every day.
In all the research you did, Dan, and I loved doing research when I was in the seminary, and you know, I love historical research. Is there any particular piece of not evidence, but a piece of history that you found that just blew you away? Any story, any individual, any tidbit, any find that clarified a rumor or something that you said, look at this piece of paper?
I'll tell you what I thought was really kind of interesting for me. And I think this talking about Catholic schools, I mean, when St. Pat's makes that move to the Northwest side in the early 1950s, the entire staff, except for two men, are brothers. So you have two lay teachers and all brothers. And I always kept scratching my head, you know, why has Catholic education become, you know, so expensive, essentially? And you're left with the knowledge that in 1950, when, you know, St. Pat's always paid, you know, the idea was serving the working class, we want to keep the tuition as low as possible. And that's still a philosophy that survives today. Obviously, it's gone up over the years. But when you only have two lay teachers, you're not paying health care and salaries for all of them. And it was amazing to see that transformation through the time.
Yeah, and that's been precisely the challenges that are really at the root of so many of the schools throughout Chicago and other dioceses as well, is because of the shift in the number of religious in the classroom and other places.
Yeah. Dan, we need to bring this to a close. Where can someone get a copy of your brand new book?
You know, the book is available. The two best places are just to call the school at 773-282 8844.
And number once again?
773-282-8844.
What about a web?
And the website's very simple. It's stpatrick.org, and that's stpatrick.org.
Well, I thank in a very special way Daniel Smith, the author of the latest book, A Tradition of Brotherhood, 150 Years at St. Patrick High School. Dan, thank you very much for joining us here on Catholic Schools Today. God bless you. And also, I hear you're a part-time contributor to the Catholic New World.
Sir.
And your boss, Joyce DiRigo, will be with us in about 15 minutes. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackless, along with Wayne Majars. Do not touch that dial.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
Hi, it's Drew Mariani here. Hey guys, are you feeling disconnected? Are you struggling at home or work? Are you looking to ignite your faith again? Then join me and hundreds of other men for the 2011 Chicago Men's Conference on Saturday, March 19th at the Marriott Oakbrook. Joining me will be His Eminence Cardinal Francis George, Sean Forrest, and former New York Giant Chris Godfrey. Plus, you'll hear from other men on how the Holy Spirit has changed their lives. Register now at CatholicMenOfChicago.org. That's CatholicMenOfChicago.org. Hope to see you March 19th.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Wayne Majars. The time in Chicago is 9:15.
Although
our
you wouldn't know it by the
8:15,
clock.
8:15, but now the truth came out. Brian Hockey
because
Hitman Brock says
Brian 5'1" Brock.
He can't change the clocks because he's
sad.
Too short.
It's very sad.
It's very short. Well, as Wayne speaks, he's 6'8" and Brian about 5'5". So
he's not 5'5".
Get a running start.
He's 5'5" on a ladder.
But he's a great hockey player. He is. He's a tough hitter.
That's because he's so close to the ground.
Defending champion.
He and the puck are one.
Built low. 312-255-8408. Our next segment, St. Gall School is celebrating their 100th anniversary. St. Gall School has evolved from a classroom above a church in 1910 into a school with a library, computer lab, science lab, art room, and resource room today. The school is committed to help their students succeed in the world now and in their future as educated and faith-filled human beings who have a willingness to help and change the world around them. And with us in studio, Debbie Campos, the marketing director at St. Gall School. Debbie, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Hi, thank you very much.
And you are nowhere near the 100th anniversary by way of age. You are very young.
Thank you.
And you've been a marketing director at St. Gall's for 3 years. So tell us about the 100th anniversary at St. Gall and what are some of the plans coming forth in the school?
Well, actually, we had just celebrated our dinner this Saturday that just passed on March 12th. We had a dinner at Nico's restaurant in Bridgeville. And we had over 320 people attend of our past and current alumni.
Who was the oldest alum in attendance? Was that person
I don't
singled
remember.
Out?
It was 1938, and she was singled out.
1938. That would put her 1924, that would put her about 87 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's pretty good.
A lot of our alums that attended were, of course, from the 1940s. Our largest class was from 1947. We had a class from 1958 who had 20 people there. It was a great event. Everyone's very excited about having to attend. They're looking to have it again next year. So,
tell us about your alums. Most of them hung around the neighborhood, been primarily in Chicago, or do you find that they're really dispersed all across the U.S.?
I would say a lot of them are in their suburbs now. Our neighborhood has changed from what a lot of them that attended. We do have some people that did come from Arizona, New York, that flew out for the event, but I would say a majority of them are in the southern suburbs.
So in the parish, now do you know the year that the parish began? You say the school's 100 years old. Did the parish also celebrate their 100th at St. Gall, or is that even older?
It's older.
And the school came then in 1910.
In 1910.
What religious order of nuns began back in 1910? Any idea, Debbie?
I have it all written down.
That's
here.
Okay. Don't worry, because I just know that when I was at Mary's Seat of Wisdom with Sisters of Mercy, and it. So the thing is now, as director of marketing, in the work that you do, of course, promoting the 100th anniversary. But what is the key work that you do at St. Gall?
The key work is, of course, of enrollment. We wanted to build our enrollment. Last year, we were graced with over 90 new students. This year, we're trying to keep up that momentum, where our goal is to reach over 300 students. We've started re-registering our current students early this year to help with that momentum. So we're very excited with Father Gary Graff as our new pastor.
He's an outstanding outstanding priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Yes, we've had a great opportunity of him welcoming a lot of our students, our new students into the school.
So enrollment-wise, the school's very healthy.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about where you pool most of your students from and how really the class makeup has evolved even over the past few years that you've been there.
Well, our neighborhood and our community has changed where 96% of our students are Hispanic. Mm. We are pooling a large majority of our students from the parish. A lot of the 90 students that we took on from last year are from parish. We do go on a monthly basis to visit daycares and real estate agents in a lot of the community centers to promote the school, the libraries, of course. But we're finding a lot of them are from our community.
One way to assess the success of a high school is, of course, what happens afterwards. So tell us about some of your alums and where they go on after St. Gaul.
We have a lot of great successful students. They're going to UIC, Loyola, a lot of the great universities around here, a lot of professions. So we have judges, doctors, writers. They continue on to great professions.
Mm-hmm. And the work that you do, Debbie, what do you find to be the most challenging? Of course, you're always talking enrollment, which is so important to keep the school viable in terms of attendance up. But beyond that or beside that, are there any myths that you always keep hearing about St. Gaul or Catholic school that you say, no, that is not true?
No, because I think, you know, a lot of people that come into our school, you can feel the spirit right away. We have a great staff. Teachers are wonderful with our students. I don't believe we've had any negativity with our school. It is a great community. We continue to grow and shine, and I've not heard anything that we've had issues with.
The fabric that holds it together is often the faculty. Tell us about your faculty and maybe one sign, at least, of good faculty cohesion is whether they stay with you for a long time or whether you turn them over often.
So. Yes. And from our dinner over the weekend, some of the teachers that were there have been long-term, over 30, some of them over 20 years.
That's a long time.
Judy Mansky, Nancy Mansky, they're long staff members, and we do have some new staff, but I think from our leadership and our principal, Miss Marilyn Barron, she has brought in a wonderful staff, and we do look up to her for a lot of support, and she has an open-door policy, and she's continuously making sure there's training and development for
our
teachers.
I'm sure you get great support from parents, because you're never educating a child in isolation. It has to be connected to the family, has to be connected to the community. And so what, tell us about the parents in terms of supporting St. Gaul School.
We actually have a family association at our school. I was actually, when I first came to the school, that is what I became part of, and I lead that organization. And we have a great support. We have a lot of room parents that participate in supporting our school. They make sure that the word is out to all of our parents. We do a lot of community building events, and so we retain the families that we have. So we try to make sure that there is always something going on where parents are involved and they're in there. They helped us a lot with the 100th anniversary, promoting it, funding it, helping us develop it into what it was.
Now, are there more things going on in conjunction with the 100th, or was the dinner on Saturday kind of the culmination of the year?
Well, we kind of carried the theme throughout the year. You know, our open house that we had during January, we had a large cake put on display on our wall and 100 candles, and each of the students had to develop, you know, what they thought was the reasons why they attended the school, what they loved about the school. So we've kind of tried to carry it through the year.
It always amazes me that when you look at the beginning, you go back to 1910, do you realize that for an individual to be born in 1910 would be now 100, and this is like, we're talking before World War I, before the Great Depression. And so all that history that has gone by, and in the work that you're doing right now, Debbie, give us some of the vision you have as you move into the future for the next 100, or at least for the next year.
Well, we'd like to fill our classrooms, you know, like they had been in the past. We encourage the Catholic faith. We are continuously looking at new ideas of communicating out to people using Facebook, those social medias, to really promote our school, to let people know who we are again, you know, just to make sure that people remember us and then carrying on that legacy.
And, of course, the best marketing are your current students or your alums who have a really good experience at St. Gall's, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
because they're the ones who talk about it amongst their friends and their families, and it precipitates a foundation that you don't even have to worry about. You just answer the phone.
Right.
Debbie, give us a phone number, speaking of phones, a phone number they can call you to learn more about St. Gall's School.
Yes, it's 773-737-3454.
That number once again.
773-737-3454.
And what about a web?
We're at stgallschool.com.
So it's G-A-L-L, stgallschool.com.
Yes, it's S-T.
And you are located on the corner of 5500 South and Kedzie.
That's correct.
The southwest corner.
Wayne, kind of your old neck of the neighborhood.
Close to my old stomping grounds.
You said you had your money at Tallman?
Yes, Tallman Federal Home Savings and Loan Association, which I think it was called, the full name right across the street was, that had all of my paper route money, $38.62. That's why they're still around today.
On that note, we're going to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank, in a special way, Debbie Campos, the marketing director at St. Gall School in Chicago, and they have just celebrated their 100th anniversary. Debbie, you're doing wonderful job. Keep up the great work. You are listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. The time is 9:25 in Chicago on this Monday. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Wayne Majors. 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Lent begins as ashes are applied in the shape of a cross to the foreheads of Catholics. We'll talk with Cardinal George about this solemn season. Do you want to see Michelangelo's famous Pietà without traveling to Rome? We'll show you how to experience the next best thing. And Chicago's Father Augustus Toten is a step closer to sainthood.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz along with Wayne Majors. Time is coming up to 9:30 on this Monday morning in Chicago. And that music, Wayne, means one thing.
Only one thing.
Joyce DiRiga, editor of the Catholic New World of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Hello, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning, Joyce.
I'm well, thank you.
Good. What's happening in the latest edition of the Catholic New World?
Well, I just heard on one of the commercials, Father Tolton. We have a story we covered the first public session of formally opening the cause of Father Tolton. It was a very beautiful, solemn celebration, and we bring people up to date on what's going on with the cause, what are the next steps, and then who all were commissioned at the public session. There's a historical commission, a theological commission, and some other folks who will have a formal position in the cause. We've also got the annual report, so people can take a look at the archdiocesan finances. There's some letters from our CFO and from our chancellor and the cardinal explaining where we are fiscally. We've got a bunch of stuff on Lent. As you know, Lent started last week, and there's a story on almsgiving, what exactly that is, how that fits into Lent, and then the importance of confession and how that can enhance your Lenten experience in this time of year. So, plus, the Cardinal wrote about Lent, too.
That sounds like a very full issue. And what do you have coming up, even maybe peek ahead into the next issue? What do you kind of give us a little clue?
I went to this National Catholic Educators event last week. It's a financial summit on Catholic schools where they brought together 25 of the largest diocese school systems in the country. And people, systems with 20,000 students or more, and they're really taking a look at using innovation as a new way to come up with ideas to fund Catholic school systems. So it was really neat. CFOs, superintendents, bishops were there, just really brainstorming and sharing ideas on how to better grow and better support our Catholic schools.
And if someone wanted to subscribe to the Catholic New World, Joyce, give us a phone number and a web.
The website's catholicnewworld.com, and you can call me at 312-534-7577.
That number once again.
312-534-7577.
I want to thank in a very special way Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, the paper for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Joyce, keep up your great work you do for the Catholic New World. And
Joyce, one of your writers, Dan Smith, was with us earlier today. He's very good. Give him a raise.
Okay, I'll work on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joyce. You can bring up the music once again there, Brian. Again, that was Joyce DiRiga, the editor of the Catholic New World, the Archdiocese of Chicago. We move into our third segment. The Home and School Association at St. Benedict Preparatory Schools in Chicago recently was notified that they will receive the 2011 NCEA Distinguished Home and School Association Award. That's very significant. They will be honored at the upcoming 2011 NCEA convention to be held in New Orleans from April 26th to the 28th. The Home and School Association is proactive in their school. They recently remodeled the faculty lounge to show their appreciation for the hard work of their teachers, who are, you know, that's the backbone. That's the faculties are wonderful. This spring, they will hold a parent education forum to include topics such as internet safety. With us in studio, we have Amy Stern, the Home and School Association Advisory Board Member, Kelly Rickelman, Home and School Association Advisory Board Member. Oh, that sounds repetitive. And Joy Walton, Home and School Association, guess what? Advisory Board Member.
Just imagine.
We have a Triple Crown winner. So to Amy and Kelly and Joy, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you.
And you all have a preschool child and first grader.
Yes, we do.
At St. Benedict's, which is over on Irving Park in Chicago. Well, welcome and congratulations. First of all, the NCEA is a very prestigious group, and to be given the Holman School Distinguished Association Award, that's nationwide.
That's right.
And so as advisory board members, first of all, how did you get involved as an advisory board member? Did you lose a bet or something? Or?
No, quite the opposite. I think we won the lottery to be able to be part of our Home and School Association board. The school is very active. Parents, there's a long legacy of parental involvement and guidance. And from when our children entered preschool, we were given the opportunity to be involved on the planning committees and for the different events and programs that we have, then decided to join the leadership team to help further.
Kelly, for someone who may not know, tell us what does HSA do and what are the types of things that you guys focus on?
Well, we are a community building group, so we work together to bring the families in the school, keep the school and the families together and informed. Some of our social events that we do are a spaghetti dinner, we do an ice cream social, and those are parish and school events. And then we also do two of our most recent social events are the mother-son and father-daughter dance. And we also do for our teachers, one of our truly biggest events is our Teacher Appreciation Week, and we host that twice a year, once at Christmas time and then again in the spring. And we use parent volunteers. During the week, we send out a list to make sure that we have all the teachers' favorite things, and the room reps organize so that the teacher receives a special gift every day from a student.
Joy, when we look at education, either at the elementary level or at the high school level, we often loop back to it's successful when the parents are plugged into their son or daughter's educational process. They know the school, they know the teachers, they're aware, they're involved. Tell us at St. Ben's, and especially in the work that you do, how involved the parents are, and kind of from your perspective, why that makes it work.
Certainly, I do agree with you about your observation about the parental involvement. And at St. Benedict's, we're very fortunate to have very high participation in all of the community building events that we do facilitate for the block. We've got parents who, I believe, they look at St. Benedict's not just as a place to educate your children or to attend Mass on Sunday, but as a place to really help grow your family and in a very supportive, loving, and fun environment. And one of the things we try and do through the Home and School Association is provide a variety of opportunities for parents to get involved, whether that's helping to be on a planning committee or they might be able to donate their time or talent or treasures. And we've tried to be very creative in having events that are low cost, available, and accessible to everyone. And I think you're right, that parental involvement builds not only more confident children, but a stronger community as well.
Amy, how has your involvement on the Home and School Association touched your life? I mean, here you have two children, I think it's preschool and
first grade.
And so, I mean, you could be sending your children to the school and say, okay, school, you take care of my kids. But you've taken it to a whole other level by being deeply involved. How has this touched your life, being a part of the Home and School Association?
I think it's really, as Joy mentioned, made our education for our children broader. We're part of a community. Our parents partner very closely with the administration and with the faculty at the school, and that powerful connection of putting our children first and drawing out, their God-given talents from the home perspective and the school perspective together has really made educating our children, a much broader experience for our family. There's community events, there's accessibility, to the whole community.
How about for you, Kelly? How has it touched your life?
It's been good for my family in the fact that we have been able to meet a lot of families, get to know a lot of people, people that we would not have gotten to know had we not been so involved in the HSA. I am very close to people who are throughout all the grades instead of just your particular classroom.
Joy, we hear oftentimes, especially today with young people coming up through the educational system, on how savvy they are with technology, how far ahead they are from even students of 5 or 10 years ago in communicating, in their knowledge of things in the world overall. Your kids are young, all of you yet, but Do you see that? I mean, and how do you, and does it worry you as a parent on how you're going to eventually have to harness it? Or is that the wrong question? Is that the wrong word? I mean, kids are so far out there today with what they know, how fast they're able to know it, how fast they're able to get plugged into the news du jour, that I would imagine as a parent, you've got to be watchful of it. And you guys have a forum coming up on internet safety, which I would imagine is going to be addressing some of this. But how do you manage that as a parent?
It is both exciting and a bit overwhelming to think about how to integrate technology into our children's education. We're very fortunate at St. Benedict's that the administration has really embraced this idea of merging technology into the classroom, from everything from laptop use at a very young age to the use of Mobi technology. And so certainly St. Benedict's will play an important part in that. But I think as a parent, we certainly have a big responsibility in trying to oversee that as well. And we are looking forward to our upcoming speaker who will help explain some of the things about internet safety, social networking, and trying to give us some navigational tips as we start to embark on integrating technology
and
into our children's
education. And perhaps by the
end of
the program, we can get Father Greg to set up a Facebook page.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Yeah, right.
We're talking about the HSA at St. Benedict Prep here in Chicago with Amy Stern, Kelly Rickleman, and Joy Walton, who are all members of the Home and School Association Advisory Board. You're listening to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:40 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
I'm Lisa Pelletto, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute. 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash, and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith with today's special edition of Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number 312-255-8408. Time is 9:43 on this Monday morning in Chicago. And Wayne, do you realize that about a week from now, we begin officially spring?
Do we? That's right, we do.
What but planet it
feels
are you
like,
on?
It feels like spring with daylight savings time already upon us.
You know, we did
it
change our clocks
feels
on
like
Saturday.
Spring.
I hope
well,
you did.
We did, except for that one
except
on the wall.
That,
every
that,
other
the
clock
one that Brian
in Chicago
didn't
has
do.
Changed.
Exactly.
Except
and,
the one in the studio.
And losing that hour sleep does make a difference.
Yeah.
It does. Well, we're here today with Amy Stern, Kelly Rickleman, and Joy Walton, Home and School Association Advisory Board members, and St. Benedict's Preparatory Schools in Chicago were notified that they will be honored at the upcoming 2011 NCEA convention to be held in New Orleans, for they are the winners of the Home and School Association prestigious award. Wayne, take it away.
Why St. Ben's? What did you guys do to get this award?
Well, RHSA has been very involved, as we mentioned, around the community building aspects of the school, but we also support our school's recruitment efforts and have a long legacy of doing so. Over the past year, we have really put an emphasis on trying to, from a parent's point of view, help draw in prospective families. We have very strong public school options in our neighborhood, and with some of their budget issues and increased in class sizes, we really wanted to highlight the alternative, you know, of St. Benedict's and Catholic education. So we worked with the administration to really revamp how we look at prospective families from marketing all the way at the beginning of the process through to enrollment. We focused on revamping the marketing materials, trying to, instead of a brochure, a takeaway, a large packet, folder of information that really answered any question a parent, such as ourselves, since we were in their shoes not too long ago, really had as far as the curriculum, the faith-based programs, extracurricular activities, and then highlighted that during an open house forum where the parents came to St. Benedict's, prospective families, heard from our administration, our parent ambassadors, who is better to hear from about how wonderful school is than from parents, and then from our amazing faculty and staff into the classrooms learning about the curriculum.
So, Kelly, what kind of questions do you get from prospective parents of students?
What your curriculum is. I think most parents are really concerned with the curriculum. How long your day is. Is it a tough transition from preschool to the elementary school?
Mm-hmm. What are some of the community building activities? Am I going to know other families?
Right.
Am I just by myself, right?
How do I get to know other families?
But I would imagine there's a dimension to all of this, Joy, that having the parents so plugged into the enrollment process at Ben's makes it more comfortable for a parent who is now, for the very first time, going to let loose of the little one in many cases to go off into school, right?
It really does. There are many opportunities for not only the children to get involved in extracurricular activities, but also for the parents. And I think Home and School Association is just one of many parent organizations around the block where you can get involved and get to know each other's, the kids, the families, and also the administration and faculty, which is, you know, a terrific way of getting to know them, probably the people who spend the most time with their children during the day.
Now tell us something about this new faculty lounge that the Home and School Association was responsible for. First of all, what did it cost? See, I'm a pastor, so those things, things are always very much on my mind.
The good news is we were able to fund all of the costs through donations and some of the previous fundraising that had been done around the block. So we had a lot of donations of time and talent. It all started, actually, when we had all of these changes going on with increased classrooms. We had more teachers, and the elementary school teachers actually had to forfeit up their teacher's lounge in order to get a new media center. And Ms. Gemmo, the CEO of the schools, wanted to find a place where all of the faculty members could meet and work together in a teacher's lounge. So we did find a new vacant space.
And now, what was the vacant space that you found? Because I find most Catholic grammar schools, they are so tight on space that to create a space is sometimes really difficult.
We are very creative, as you know, in the Catholic schools.
Yeah, I think stadium, when it comes to moms, very creative.
It wasn't meant to be a teacher's lounge originally, and that's part of the extreme makeover that had to happen, where we literally built out a kitchen, we built out a living room area, a area to check email and be able to read books. And it's a great, beautiful, updated place, and certainly a small token of appreciation for our teachers who do so much.
That's got to really make faculty feel good about themselves when they get this tremendous support from the parents who are behind this, saying, you know, we believe in you, we support you, and we know, but when it comes to Catholic education, both on a grammar school, high school level, the teachers, their salaries are not terrific. That's just a fact. We wish they were better. And so this is just a way to say that we really want to support you in ways that can't be done otherwise. So I think that's marvelous.
It was really rewarding from a parent, you know, as we embarked on it. I don't think we realized, you know, how big of a deal it would be.
Well, how for touched our they were when we opened it up at our Christmas teacher.
When did it open? Was it
appreciation luncheon was their first time that they saw it, and just to see how touched they were was just rewarding for us.
And really to get our preschool through 12th grade staff all together in a place where they can, you know, not only have an oasis away from the classroom for 20 or 30 minutes a day, but also a place where they can spend time interacting and networking.
So is this a joint lounge both for the grammar school and the high
school?
Preschool, grammar.
And high school.
Yes.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic schools.
And Joy, you did a marvelous job of side-skirting Father Greg's question about how much it costs.
That's right. We'll get to that after the break. On Catholic Schools Today, I'm Father Greg Zakowitz, along with Wayne Majors and our guests, Amy Stern, Kelly Rickelman, and Joy Walton. We'll be back right after a break. Nice going, Joy.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Father Greg Sackwitz with you. Amy Stern, Kelly Rickelman, Joy Walton of the HSA at St. Ben's Prep. Our guests for this third segment.
Say that five
of
times.
The program. And Joy, saying that this is Lent and it's all about penance, and you've managed to now side skirt Father Greg's question about the cost of the faculty lounge. So this next one is for you. We often hear, especially when we talk about the Archdiocesan Catholic schools, in the choices parents make. And I know Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, who's the superintendent of schools, spends a lot of time with her principals and her executive team articulating the differences between Catholic education and why, and public education, and in the context of Catholic marketing, why not? You are surrounded at St. Ben's by some pretty strong Chicago public schools. Why is a parent, and I'll give each of you 30 seconds, why is a parent did you choose Ben's instead of someone else?
I think Catholic education is a high priority for my family. I was personally raised going to Catholic schools and wanted the same for my children. And I think in today's world, you've got enough challenges trying to raise children without, I think, that extra support of religion on a daily basis integrated into all of the curriculum is very important in this very complex and challenging world. We're very fortunate to live just a couple blocks from St. Benedict's, so our children can walk to school. We're close to the community, and we're very blessed with faculty who care tremendously about teaching our children not just education, but also nurturing their soul. And you can see that on a daily basis with how much they care and consider all elements of our children, not just whether they're passing a grade.
So the faith dimension. Kelly?
The faith was very important to our family as well. We also live within walking distance of school. When we started, my daughter started in preschool there. We had a very good preschool experience. And once we got into the elementary school, to see Rachel Gemmo's dedication to making this school what it is right now and how far we've come, that really was important to me, and I admired it. I feel that my daughter is getting quality education. She's happy there. So that's really what... Yeah,
that's important. How about you, Amy?
I would echo all the things that Kelly and Joy said, but I'd also say from, you know, starting there as a preschool parent, not knowing where we were maybe going to choose for elementary school, the sense of community and that the parents are in it together with the faculty and the administration to make the best educational path for my children, it was no choice.
So I think it's interesting for all three of you that you've talked about the need. It's a faith-based education, which is so important to religion on a daily basis, that I've said before, Catholic schools better be different. We otherwise close down. So we better be different and deals with that faith-based component. Now, one thing, another word that all three of you used in the last half hour, I'm not sure if it's so much on a parent level, children level, or both, that sense of community. Mm-hmm. You know, say something about that again, because you all talk about that sense of community, which we live in a society today that talks about individualism. I can do it alone. And all I keep hearing from you is community, 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 which is, when you think about it, that's what the Lord was doing. He was gathering people to form a community to be both formed and informed and then to be sent. So say something about community. Joy.
Well, as you know, we live in a big city, too, here in Chicago, and I think that could be a bit daunting and overwhelming for some folks. And I think finding that community or that smaller group of people that you can turn to in any time of need or of celebration is pretty important, and it's something certainly we want for all of our children to feel safe, to feel loved, and to also have the diversity of a large urban environment as well.
We just got a couple of minutes left. Give us, Kelly, Amy, Joy, an idea of what's on the agenda for the HSA at St. Ben's going forward.
One of our next events is actually on Saturday, April 9th, as you mentioned. It's our Parent Education Forum. We have three different speakers, one focusing on internet safety, another from the Chicago Archdiocese Respect Life Office, who will be focusing on our children's changing bodies and feelings in the context of Catholic faith. And then lastly, we're very fortunate to have a professional parent coach, Beth Miller, who will help give us some tips and strategies with communication. So that's coming up. Certainly all of our families from both the parish and the school are invited to attend.
So how would that evening work? You have three tremendous speakers. Are they three keynotes? Are there breakout sessions?
Well, we'll have one after another. So we'll have 3 hours dedicated to the forum, 1 hour focused on each of the speakers, and parents can come to all or to whichever sessions they're available for.
And maybe just like in the last almost like 40 seconds, Amy, how does the school then connect with the parish? I know people go to Mass on Sunday, but is there an integral connection between school and parish?
Most definitely. I mean, from a home and school association perspective, we've been working with Family Mass once a month. A certain grade is kind of responsible for participating in that and having fellowship afterwards. So there is definitely a strong connection between the parish and school.
Well, go ahead.
A lot of our social events, too, are parish and school events.
So not just a school, but the whole school and parish together. I want to thank in a very special way Amy Stern, Kelly Rickelman, and Joy Walton, Home and School Association Advisory Board members, because St. Benedict's Preparatory Schools in Chicago was notified they will be a 2011 NCEA Distinguished Home and School Association recipient award, which is very prestigious. So thank you, ladies, for joining us. I mean, any parish would love to have you or any school. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You know, keep up the great work, and God bless you. And tell Father Bob Bevan I say hello.
We will.
Also want to thank special way our co-host, Wayne Majors, Vice President, Chief of Staff of Lyle University, and great work to Jasmine Kiddos and our engineer Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. Tremendous work, Jasmine Brian.
He's all
and
right.
Well, Brian's okay, he's but right. Jasmine's much better. So God bless. No, Brian's terrific. That's a good show. God bless, and to all our listeners, have a wonderful week. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.